Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Please stand. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and this is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. It is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, I also wanted to mention, you probably have noticed we have a big section of Unverfurts up here, and the reason for that is tomorrow marks the 10th anniversary of the day that the Lord called our dear sister in Christ, Irene Unverfurt, home to him in heaven, and so also the flowers behind me on the altar are given in her memory as well. So welcome to the Unverfurt family. Today we are going to be following Divine Service Setting 1. And you will find that in your hymnal, beginning on page 151. And we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of your bulletin. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old. Remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs. Do not deliver the soul of your dove to the wild beasts. Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Have regard for the covenant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, beginning with verse 22. The same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gradual is found on the inside cover of the bulletin. He will command his angels concerning you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's second letter to St. Timothy, chapters 3 and 4, beginning with chapter 3, verse 14. "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will confess the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated. At this time, I would like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Just keep your hands to yourself, okay? Good morning!
Good morning, guys.
How's everybody doing? Good. Look at all of your bright, shining faces, big smiles. That's good. It's nice to see you all here today. I brought something with me. What is this? Cards. What kind of cards? What kind of cards are these? Slapjack. Yeah, that's one game you could play with these cards. A whole deck of 52 cards. Yep, there's a jack. You want to slap it? There you go. Good job. Yeah, so what are some of your favorite card games that you can play with a deck of cards like this? Egyptian Rat Slap. Yeah, I know. We played that. That's kind of a crazy sounding game, isn't it? What kind of game? You can make a house out of cards. Yeah, that would be a cool thing to do. I've never actually done that, but I've heard it's kind of fun, especially when they all fall down. What kind of games do you like to play? You could make a tower. How about, like, card games? Do you have any favorite card games, Logan? Garbage. Okay, I've heard of that before. I think I've played that before. Do you have a favorite card game? Garbage. Do you have a favorite card game? Go Fish. All right, yeah, classic Go Fish. Go Fish, okay. Go Fish. Lots of Go Fish fans.
Kings on the Corner.
Kings on the Corner, okay. Okay. Does anybody here like to play War?
Ooh, I love playing War.
Forgot what War is. Let's see how this can work here. I'm going to pretend that you guys are all on a team, okay? And I'll deal for you, okay? So we're going to take like half the cards. Now with War, there's maybe a few different ways to play, but the idea is you're going to see who can get the most cards. You get the cards if you have the highest out of the two that get played, right? So let's say this is my pile, and this is all of your guys' pile, okay? Zach, can you sit back, please? Thank you. So if I flip over a card, I just flipped over the five of clubs, right? Five's a pretty low card, right? You guys got an ace, so you win that one, right?
How do I win?
Ace is higher. Jack is higher than seven. You guys win again. Oh, you guys got a three, and I got a four. I won that one. Now, what happens if we flip over the same number?
You go into a war.
You go into a war, and what does that mean?
That means you have to draw five cards. No, you draw three.
See, everybody plays this differently, I found out, right? Okay, so some people put down three, some people put down five, and then you flip over the next one, right?
And if it's the same number again, you go into a double war.
A double war? Oh my goodness, a double war. Could you have a triple war?
Yes.
All right, how about this? How about this? Do we have any math whizzes here that know what a fraction is? You've been learning fractions. Have any of you ever played Fraction War?
No.
Mrs. Wallenberg is a high school math teacher now, so she'd be really proud of me that I'm using this as my children's message illustration. Fraction War is kind of crazy. You have to do a lot of math in your head to figure out who's actually winning, because the first card you put down is the numerator, the card on top, and the second card you put down is the denominator. And then you see which fraction is worth more. Does that sound like a good idea, Mr. Schaff? Sounds really good for math, right? So if I have an 8 as the numerator and a queen, that's going to be like a 12. So 8 twelfths would be like what? Gracie, do you have any idea? 8 twelfths or 6 sevenths. What is the cards that win? 8 twelfths or 6 sevenths? 6 sevenths is higher than 8 twelfths, right? So this card would win. That's a really hard game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know what? We have lots of different rules that you can incorporate into different games. And sometimes you might start with really easy rules, and then as you get older, you might play with harder rules, right? Because you're able to to handle more as you grow and as you learn, right? Do you guys have rules at home? Do you guys have rules at school? Do you have rules here at church, right? Are the rules always the same no matter how old you are?
Yes.
Really?
Sometimes.
Sometimes the rules change as you get older, don't they? Sometimes your responsibilities change as you get older too, right? Right? Sometimes the things that you were not allowed to do when you were like 2 or 3 years old, maybe you are allowed to do later because you're able to do those things without getting hurt, right? Or hurting somebody else, right? So sometimes the rules change as you get older. Sometimes we could play a harder version of war as we get older, right? But you know what never, ever, 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 ever changes? That's right. God's love never changes. As you go throughout your life is going to change as you get older, as you graduate from your school and you move on to like high school and college and you get to be a grown-up. Your life is going to change a lot, and the rules and responsibilities that you have are going to change a lot. But you know what? God's love never, ever changes. And it's really important to remember that, because sometimes when our whole world and our whole lives are changing all around us, it can be scary, right? Sometimes we face things that we've never faced before, and we say, I don't know how to do this. And there's a lot of things that might happen in your life that, you know what, you can't do it on your own, but you always have a Savior who's willing to listen to you. You can pray to him whenever you want, and he will listen, and he promises to help, and he will always love you. And you know how we know that for sure? Because he already showed you how much he loved you when he died on the cross for you. He came into this world to die for you and to rise again and to give you hope that you're going to live in heaven with him someday. And that's going to be a great, great, great time when we're all in heaven together. But until that day comes, we got to live through this life where we have so many things that are changing a lot. And we need God's help with all of those things. So I think we should say a prayer and ask God to help us with that. What do you think? Let's fold our hands and bow our heads, and you guys can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for sending us a Savior. Help us to trust in you no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much for coming up here. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. Or grandmas and grandpas. And we are going to sing our sermon hymn, Shepherd of Tender Youth. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. We've had an opportunity over the last few Sundays to hear from St. Paul's letters to Timothy, these words of encouragement for his fellow colleague and brother in ministry. And in this particular passage, what he's really helping Timothy to see is that he has a certain way that he was raised. And that way includes a knowledge of the scriptures and belief in his Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the midst of a life and a ministry that was changing so constantly in the city of Ephesus where Timothy was a pastor, it's helpful to remember those things that formed Timothy's childhood. And in the same way, we could say that about any of us. We live in a world that's constantly changing. We have lives that are changing so fast we can hardly breathe. But it's always good to know that we can cling to the things that we were taught, even from the time we were small, that Jesus is our Savior and that there is good news because of him. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, lately I've been really thankful to have some extra opportunities to spend some quality time with my kids. Unfortunately, part of that is because Max was not feeling very good toward the end of last week, and so we had to keep him home from daycare, and I did get to spend a couple extra days with him because of that. But also, the big two have had the last two Fridays off of school, and since Friday is my normal day off out of the office, when the kids have no school on Friday, that means that they get to hang out with me, which is great. Now, what do we all do together on these extra days? Well, I'm glad you asked. Lately, we've been kind of into a board game kick, and now that the kids are starting to get a little bit older, we've kind of graduated from the days of Candyland. We're starting to tackle games that are a little bit more involved, maybe just a little bit more complicated. We've got a whole big collection of games down in the Parsonage basement, and the other day, Zoe went down there and she brought up with her this, it's like 1987 edition of Pictionary, which was, you know, okay, I guess. You know, everything's, the timer still worked, everything's still good in there, you know. The cards were a little bit dated in their references. I'm not a very good artist anyway, but I don't think even the greatest pencil drawing in the entire world could have helped Zoe guess what I was trying to do when I got the card that said Bob Hope. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that, but it was okay. It was kind of fun. But along those same lines, another game that we've been tackling lately has been Monopoly, which I know, I can see it on your faces, right? Everybody's got this love-hate relationship with Monopoly, and I get it. It's a great game, it's a good concept, but it just takes a long time to play, and you have to kind of be sort of ruthless and cutthroat when you play Monopoly, and you just got to be really patient. It's a game that tests your patience. And certainly, I don't expect any third grader to fully grasp the concepts of paying for rent and utilities and mortgaging properties and forcing their opponents into bankruptcy. But, you know, the box says 8 and up, and Zoe's 8.5. So in her mind, that's good enough. She's ready to play Monopoly. So that's what we've been trying to do. I've noticed over the years that everybody plays Monopoly different. It's kind of like this little discussion we had up here with just the card game war. Everybody plays Monopoly differently too, right? I mean, hardly anybody I know actually plays Monopoly according to the official game rules that come in the box. A lot of people play with what you would call house rules. And you notice that was the name of the sermon today. House rules for Monopoly. So I know people that'll play like with the auctions, you know, if you land on a property and you don't buy it, then you could put it up for auction and someone gets to be the auctioneer, right? Some people don't bother with that at all to make it simpler. Some people I know, if you land on the go space directly, you get more than just 200, you get 400 for landing directly on go. I know one that kind of tripped me up. I didn't realize this wasn't part of the game. when you land on free parking, according to the official game rules, nothing's supposed to happen. It's just supposed to be free parking. But my whole childhood, we would put a $500 bill on free parking, and anytime somebody had to pay a tax or a fee for the chance cards or whatever, that always went into this big pile of money on free parking. And if you landed there, you got to take all of that money. And no wonder why the game took so long, right? But that house rule actually is what contributed to my demise in my first game ever with Zoe, because she landed on free parking and she took all of this cash and she bought a lot of houses and hotels on the orange and red properties and pretty much owned that entire corner, and there was nothing I could do. I went bankrupt. She's pretty proud of the fact that she beat her dad in her first game of Monopoly, so you can ask her about that later if you want to. But my point, my overall point is this. There's a whole bunch of things like that in our lives, like house rules for different aspects. Monopoly, fine, but there's other things too in your life that you learned how to do and experience a certain way from the time that you were little. And a lot of times, even if you find out that nobody else does it that way, nobody else does things the way that you do them in your family, whatever it is, sometimes those are the things that just stick with you your whole life. Sometimes even well into adulthood. So we sort of get used to doing things a certain way, and because we're all creatures of habit, we don't really want to change unless there's a good reason to change. And where you start to really see this whole house rules concept on steroids is in the way that we kind of do church together, right? And by that, I mean, you know, the way that we organize ourselves into congregations as Christians and the way that we observe certain traditions and the way that we worship together. There are all these unique house rules that apply to maybe this congregation that don't apply to the congregations down the road or vice versa. And I'm not just saying that because Hoyleton is such a unique place. You know, like, we do everything differently, and we're the weirdos who do things backwards compared to the churches around us. That's not what I mean. I mean, we might be weird, but it's not for that reason, okay? Every congregation, everywhere, has these sorts of house rules. And if you can figure out what those house rules are, that will tell you something about that congregation's history and culture. So here's just a really quick example, okay? I think most of us know this. Those of us who live in town definitely know this, that when a member of our congregation passes away, the bells in this tower here, in the steeple, they toll once for every year of that person's earthly life. So the people who are listening for that in town are always counting to try to figure out if they know who that person must have been that has died, right? And we do that because that's kind of a throwback to the way things used to be. It's a house rule. It's not something that happens in every congregation. It's something that happens here because this congregation has been around for over 155 years. And believe it or not, there was a time before internet and before smartphones and Facebook when maybe by hearing those bells ring, that was the primary way that somebody found out that their neighbor had passed away. And so by hearing those bells continue to toll even now, that tells us a little bit about our history. Compared to maybe a congregation that'd be only, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years old, they might not even have a steeple, let alone a bell to toll, right? So there is something unique about that. It's like I said, it's a house rule. As Christians, we have this challenge. It's not just for Lutherans in Southern Illinois. For all Christians from all denominations in all different geographical locations, the challenge that we face, or one challenge that we face, is to not become so rigid in those individual house rules that we end up losing sight of what's really important. So, like, going back to the Monopoly thing, if I want to go over to my friend's house and play Monopoly, and I find out that my friend does not put any money on free parking, I have to be okay with that if I still want to play the game. I can't let my preference or the way that I was raised get in the way of us spending time together as friends, because that's really ultimately the most important. When we're talking about things that we do in church, though, it becomes even more critical to be able to figure out what is truly essential and what might just be a house rule that's part of my personal tradition and culture. What are the things that are essential to saving faith and eternal life, and what things are not? And that might not always be very obvious to us, but that's where we do have some help in the Word of God. God does send us His Word to help us sort it out. And I think when you look at today's epistle, we have a really good way of looking at this. We take a look at this passage from 2 Timothy, and we take the context of this passage into account. What we see is that Christians have actually been struggling to navigate this even from the beginning. You got another word of encouragement here from Paul to Timothy. He tells him essentially to stay firm in the most important things, right? He actually says, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the background information that might be helpful to us as we look at a passage like this is that we also know from the book of Acts that Timothy's father was a Greek, and not just a Greek, but he was a pagan Greek. Meanwhile, Timothy had a mother, Eunice, and a grandmother, Lois, who were Jewish believers. They were Jewish Christians. They were most likely, they lived in Galatia, so they were most likely part of the original group of converts when Paul came through Galatia in his first missionary journey. These two women were probably some of the first who came to believe in Jesus in that area. And so here comes Timothy, and Lois and Eunice are sharing the Word of God with him and telling him from the time that he's small all about his Savior, Jesus Christ, which is so different from his father's background. So as Timothy is growing up in this household, he's got this really unique situation. He's got all these opportunities that are going to come up where the way that his father establishes house rules is going to be a lot different from the way his mother establishes house rules. The things that he's learning from his dad are different from the things that he's learning from his mom and his grandma. So he's learning from a very young age how to discern these things, how to figure out what is the most important thing in life, namely Jesus, salvation in Christ, and what things are really just part of the Greek and pagan culture around me. And that gives Timothy this really great advantage as then later on in life, he's called to be a pastor in the pagan city of Ephesus, where now he's got the responsibility to help teach other people how to do the very same things that he had to do ever since he was a little kid. And Paul actually alludes to some of the challenges of that Ephesian ministry in the passage today. He tells Timothy, he says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So one of Timothy's most important jobs was to help his congregation to be able to stay hyper laser focused on Christ alone in the midst of a world that was so different from what the gospel teaches, and in a world that was changing rapidly, to be able to figure out how to let go of the house rules of Ephesian Greek culture and to simply focus on Christ alone so that we don't get swept away from our faith. And if that doesn't sound familiar, I don't know what to tell you, because we live in a world that's kind of like that. Actually, we could say we live in a world that's much more fast-paced, and the changes come at us much more fast and furious than they did even for Timothy. We have that same living and active Word of God preached right here. We have that same good news of the gospel ringing in our ears that Jesus has won the victory for us by the power of his death and resurrection. And like I was saying with the kids earlier, that is something that will never, ever, 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 ever change. No matter what we end up experiencing, no matter how many cultural shifts that we end up living through in our lifetimes, no matter how many times we might decide to come up with different house rules for our ministry here at Trinity, right? Through things like voters' assembly meetings, which we have one scheduled for tomorrow night. We get together and by majority vote or by ballot vote, we decide for these are going to be the house rules that we are going to live by and minister by. No matter how many generations of Hoyleton families come through that back door and sit in these pews and are baptized at that font, no matter how much differently ministry looked in 1867 when this congregation opened versus 1967 versus today in 2022, the house rules might change from time to time, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And we can take refuge in that. It's such a blessing to know that we have a firm foundation that won't be shaken even when everything else seems like it's crumbling down all around us. You have something solid to hold on to. And that is the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as long as you remain in him, you can never be moved. So my encouragement to you is to remember that the next time somebody suggests here at church that maybe we ought to try something that we've, you know, never done it that way before, which I know is kind of like anathema to Lutherans and maybe scandalous to say. But the truth is, the good news about house rules is that there's some freedom in the fact that they can be adapted and changed. God gives us that freedom, so that our ministry will be able to better reach this perishing world, so that we will better reach the very souls of the people that God loves and cares about among us with this life-saving message that never, ever, 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 ever changes. Jesus Christ died and rose again to save sinners. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Please stand. We turn now to the bottom of page 159 and we sing the offertory together. In our prayers today, we do have just a couple of updates for you. Under care facilities, we have been praying for Richard Boehning, but he is actually out of his rehab program at Centralia Manor in terms of having to live there. He's back home. He's actually here today. And so we'll be moving him away from the care facilities section, and we'll pray for him today under ongoing health needs. Also have an upcoming surgery for Janet Selly, who is also here today. She'll be having basically her ankle reconstructed on Friday, and so we'll pray for her that all goes well with that and with all of her recovery. And we give thanks and praise to God today for the holy baptisms of Atlas Pierre and Jupiter May Banks, who are the twin grandchildren of Brent and Celeste Reeder, and they were baptized here yesterday afternoon. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, the righteous call to you day and night, and you answer them speedily. Grant us faith to rest securely in your mercy and justice as we await the coming of the Son of Man. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Timothy was charged to preach the word in season and out. Grant us faithful pastors who will answer your call and be faithful voices, speaking your word to those who have not heard it, to those lost in error, to those who have fallen away, and to those who are weary. Bless all those in full-time service to your church, and raise up many who will serve the generations to come. Be especially with our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, St. Peter Lutheran in New Memphis, and their pastor, Art Eichhorn. Lord, in your mercy, judge of all, grant justice according to your word to those who suffer wrong. Give wisdom and understanding to the leaders of all nations, especially our own, that they may punish evil and reward good, fearing God and respecting man. Watch over all of the members of the armed forces of this nation, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Lucas, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your constant mercies and blessings to us. We ask that as the harvest season continues, that if it be your will, you would grant us favorable weather and safety for those who work in the fields. Encourage and strengthen all of us that your people may be trained in righteousness and equipped for every good work. Bless those who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Solden, Charles, Ava, Clint, Chase, John, Janet, Elaine, Larry, and Kelly. And we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for the baptisms of Atlas Pierre and Jupiter May Banks, which took place here yesterday afternoon. Lead and guide them in your paths as they grow. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, because you neither slumber nor sleep, deliver us from evil. Especially, we beg you to keep in your hands the lives of those who face sickness, injuries, and troubles, including all those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Nancy, Marlene, Thretta, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Helen, Jim, Imogen, and Brian. Be with Janet with her upcoming surgery, that all would go well. Bless the surgeon and all those who will be working with her. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Richard, Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Amy, Tony, Diane, Eric, Patrick, Tiffany, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Bradley, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Corey, Michael, Linda, Sam, Charlie, Shoei, Judy, Paula, and all those who are fighting cancer. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you desire us to come to you in prayer and not to lose heart in the midst of suffering. As we struggle with many afflictions in this vale of tears, strengthen us by the suffering and cross of your Son. Have mercy on us when our spirits fail and we are overwhelmed by despair. Renew our faith by the proclamation of the gospel, to cry to you in hope day and night. You are our keeper. Guard us when death draws near, and grant that we would be found faithful on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. And our closing hymn today is 819. Sing praise to God, the highest good. Thank you, Chime Choir. Good morning. Just a few announcements. It is still a busy time of year. There's a lot going on around here. Just want to make sure you're aware of all the things that are happening. As far as I know, nothing else today. But tomorrow, Chimes are having their regular practice at 6, I believe. And then after that, at 7 o'clock, will be our voters meeting that I made a reference to in the sermon. So we hope you can join us. Those of you who are voters, please be here at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. There is an agenda that you can review in the bulletin today, so you can see what some of the topics are that we're going to be covering tomorrow night. And then coming up on Tuesday, want to thank all of you who participated in getting your picture taken for the pictorial directory. And now this week is the time when we need to come back and choose the photos that are going to make it into the actual directory, and you'll have an opportunity to purchase any other picture packages you might like. They will be here on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 18th and the 19th. Hopefully you remember what your assigned time slot is for that. Let us know if you're not sure. If you're submitting pictures, if you were not able to take them when the photographer was here, we also would like to have those by the 18th. Please participate in that. We need to hit a certain number of appointments in order to get the amount of directories that we were told we could get. So if you made an appointment, please keep the appointment or we probably won't get credit for your appointment. So every number counts, every appointment counts. We really appreciate that in advance. Also coming up on Wednesday, there's mixed choir at 6:30, women's Bible study at 7 o'clock. Also, next Sunday is our family night. In the month of October, we get to do some pumpkin carving, which is always a really fun night. We get together, and we're going to have a lot of pumpkins that were graciously donated by the Rommelmans. So you probably won't need to bring your own pumpkin. We'll have enough for every family, but we will need you to bring some carving tools if you've got some. We have some here, but there's always plenty of need for more on a night like that. So if you've got some pumpkin carving tools, if you'd bring them along with you. And also, this is going to be a full potluck. So none of the food will be provided. It will all be brought from you all, and so it's a true potluck. Whatever you bring is what we'll eat, and we're going to start at 5:30, and the night will go until about 7:30 or so. We'll eat, and then we'll decorate and carve our pumpkins. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be next Sunday. The following Sunday, October 30th, is the next senior social event. That'll be immediately following the church service on the 30th. We're going to hear from Donovan Holly that day. He's going to be giving some information that he's uncovered about Hoyleton history, so I know that'll be really interesting. We need to know, if you already know that you're planning to come but you haven't signed up yet, please sign up today. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex, and that will help us have the appropriate amount of food as we try to gather a head count in advance of that. Also, speaking of sign-up sheets, the Worst Mart is coming up in November, on November 13th, and I know many of you are used to providing a dessert for us each year, so we are calling once again for desserts to be made that we can have as a part of our Worst Mart dinner, and if you would please sign up. There's another sign-up sheet back there next to the senior social sign-up sheet. There's two of them next to each other. If you would please sign up and let us know if you could bring a dessert, that will help us in planning the Worst Mart. I think those are all the announcements I highlighted. Were there? Yes? Okay, Thanks. If you didn't hear what Katie was saying, Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School's auction is this coming Saturday, the Sterling evening, and there's still plenty of room for people to come out and support them. If you'd like to come, please do so. We'd love to support our local Lutheran high school. Anything else today? Okay. If not, then go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.